Peak performance is nothing more or less than just getting our biology to work for us rather than against us. The fact that all of our mental skills, our physical skills decline over time, the research is starting to say we can hang on to them, even advance them far later in life than anybody thought possible. Once you get to 50, if you're not moving forward, you're heading backwards. The finding here is crazy that a positive mindset towards aging produces about an extra 7.5 years of healthy longevity. If you are exposed to negative stereotypes of aging or have a really negative mindset towards aging, when they measure memory, you exhibit 30% greater memory decline than people who had positive mindset towards aging or non-ageist experiences. We don't change our biology as fast as our technology is changing. And so we can use all the technology we want, but getting our biology to work for us is what peak performance and peak performance aging is all about.
What does it take to do the impossible? What does it take to level up your game like never before? What does it take for individuals, organizations, for even institutions to achieve paradigm shifting, nothing is ever the same again, breakthroughs?
Our mission is to decode the neurobiology of flow and cognitive peak performance. Access the minds of maverick scientists, groundbreaking innovators, and world-leading experts to understand what it takes to achieve ultimate human performance, so you can feel your best, perform your best, and accomplish your boldest goals. I'm your host, Rian Doris, and together with best-selling author Stephen Kotler, I present to you Flow Research Collective Radio.
Stephen, welcome to the show.
It is good to be with you.
Now, I've known you for, what is it, 7-8 years? Maybe even a little bit more than that. I met you
first.
I think it's a decade
by now.
Oh my God, that makes me feel old. But that's good because of the book. But we'll come back to that in a second.
Subject matter involved.
Oh yeah, yeah, nice thread line. So I met you through Peter Diamandis. You've written several books with that brilliant man, and you've just wrote countless books, and I've read probably most of them. I've read the Art of Impossible, Abundance, The Future is Faster. You've got how many books you on now? What is it, 10, 12 books you've done? This the 13th, is that right?
14.
14 books. But this one, and I know you say, oh, but this one's different. This one's more interesting. This one captivated me, and I want to run straight into it because I've got it here. It's The Nah Country. I have not read it, and the reason being, and I said it at the beginning, I want to declare it, whenever I travel, I always take a book I can rely on because there's nothing worse than taking off, starting reading a book, realizing it's crap, and you got to try and find something to watch on TV. But this book... And you've done many books on flow state, peak performance. So the question really is, you've written this book on staying rad and in peak on the second half of your life. Why is that important today? Is it because you're getting old?
Why was it important to me to write?
Yeah.
Is that the question? That's funny. Some of it is, you know, I'm 55 now. So obviously these questions are a little bit more pertinent, but this peak performance aging has sort of been a part of my research agenda since 2000. Early 2000s, I started looking at regenerative medicine and longevity science. That morphed into work on sort of the lifestyle interventions that I pursued a lot with dogs, because my wife and I run a canine hospice care facility. So we started doing stuff with dogs and then asking questions, would it work in humans? This book emerged because over the past 5 to 10 years, the sort of traditional theory of aging, the long, slow rot idea, right? The fact that all of our mental skills, our physical skills decline over time, there's nothing we can do to stop the slide, has been radically overturned. We now know that all the skills that we used to believe declined over time, while they do decline over time, they're all use it or lose it skills, right? And we keep training them. The research is starting to say we can hang on to them, even advance them far later in life than anybody thought possible. And I thought, what a great time to run a bunch of experiments around this idea, which is sort of what's at the heart of NAR Country. It's not only the new science of peak performance aging, it's sort of the story of a couple really radical experiments in peak performance aging.
Now, why Gnar? You know, explain to a lot of people what Gnar. There's going to be people out there that know what gnarly is and Gnar, and there's going to be out there people going, what the hell is this? So bring us that introduction first.
So Gnar comes from action sports. It's action sports slang. It's actually short for the word gnarly, but it's got a very technical and precise meaning, which is any environment that is high in perceived risk and high in actual risk. And our country is any landscape or terrain, fictitious or real, right? So what I like about this as a title is it's a phenomenal description of our later years, right? High in actual risk, high in perceived risk. And it turns out it's also a really good description of like the gritty mindset we need to thrive during those later years.
So we know what it means. We know about peak performance. What is the difference with peak performance maybe when you're younger? And I'm 56 years old. And a lot of the people I know, we mentioned Joe Polish, a mutual friend of ours earlier, Peter Diamandis. These people are people that are not in their 20s, but really thriving and really pushing. So what is the difference between someone trying to get peak performance out of their 30s and getting peak performance out of their 50s?
It's a great question. Let's just start at the beginning. What do I mean by peak performance? Peak performance, the way I look at it, is nothing more or less than just getting our biology to work for us rather than against us. Peak performance aging is getting our biology to work for us rather than against us when applied to the challenges and opportunities in the second half of our life. There is also a through line. And the way I like to sort of, one way you can look at it is, in a sense, peak performance is almost optional before you're 50. But if you really want to thrive in the second half of your life, once you get to 50, if you're not moving forward, you're heading backwards. So stuff starts to become a lot more mandatory in our 50s. That said, one of the things that's really interesting about this whole discussion is that it's very clear interventions at any age matter, right? There's studies going up to like people's late 80s, and there are interventions in the late 80s that can actually make a huge difference going forward. But peak performance aging actually starts early. It turns out there's some physical stuff, but there's some psychological stuff that needs to take place in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s and our 50s to really unlock the later decades. And the stuff that needs to take place in our earlier decades, some of it's wrapped up with passion, purpose, flow, ideas that show up in peak performance. So in a sense, peak performance is a path into peak performance aging, depending on, you know, where you're jumping in.
So we've got to, I know how much of that is activity, because I notice, especially you and Joe, very, very similar. You're constantly doing a lot of different experiments, but you're challenging your body a lot more. There's a lot more like the cold dives and the cryo rooms that Joe goes into. So how important is it to look at how we react to our body that's going to allow our mind to be more performance orientated?
So this is interesting. And all the stuff that you're listing, the cold plunges, the saunas, the Epsom, all that, very important. These are recovery technologies, you know, they're very, very useful. But in a sentence, peak performance aging in a sentence, you want to regularly engage in challenging creative activities, challenging creative and social activities that demand dynamic, deliberate play, and I'll define dynamic in a second, that demand dynamic, deliberate play and take place in novel outdoor environments. First, I want to point out that there's nothing in that sentence about supplements or biohacking or cold plunges or any of this stuff that you are normally hearing people talk about, which is not to say that those interventions don't matter. But the big guns, you want to regularly engage in challenging creative and social activities that demand dynamic, deliberate play, take place in novel outdoor environments. Now, what do I mean by dynamic? Dynamic is a shorthand word. So I said earlier that all the skills, there's physical skills, there's mental skills. We used to think they declined over time, that we now know they're use it or lose it skills. On the physical side, the research shows that there's five skills that matter over time: stamina, strength, flexibility, balance, and agility. Dynamic is a single word that means all five of those. Something is dynamic when it requires strength, stamina, agility, balance, flexibility all at once, right? So dynamic is just a shorthand way of talking about all five of those. And deliberate play is just sort of in deliberate practice. We've all heard about expert performers do the same thing over and over again with incremental advancement. We have 10,000 hours of that, we get to mastery, or so the story goes. And it turns out deliberate practice is great for a lot of different kinds of learning and performance, but deliberate play, which is repetition without repetition or repetition with improvisation, outperforms deliberate practice for lifelong learning. And the goal, this whole formula is a formula for lifelong learning, which is really, really crucially important for peak performance aging for reasons that we can get to, but I'll stop there for now.
One of the key words you said there that got me that I want to challenge is you said about challenge yourself in a social environment. We've had COVID back us out of a social environment. We've had the growth of almost an introvert nation where we're kind of like, and you said use it or lose it. We haven't been communicating very much. Now we're not communicating very well. And you're actually telling us, hey, you've got to get out there, because if you don't challenge yourself with social interaction, you're going to lose it. How bad is our social interaction today?
Yeah, I mean, and we have numbers around it, actually. So if you if you maintain robust social connections, so that doesn't mean a giant network. That means you've got some robust social connections, so people who love you and care about you deeply, and you're doing the work to maintain those connections, they will live an average of 7.5 extra years. So there's 7.5 healthy years tied to a robust social life. Yeah, it's a very, the only other intervention that has that much weight is your mindset towards aging, which also can produce about 7 or 8 years of healthy longevity, but a robust social life. So if you're morbidly obese, it's more important to maintain a robust social life than it is to lose weight for health and longevity.
It's a
really, really big lever. There's a bunch of reasons for it and a lot of it. So let me put one thing in perspective for you, which will help. So if you want to preserve mental function, right, against cognitive decline, against diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia, the way to do it is to build up what's known as cognitive reserve. Cognitive reserve is essentially two things: expertise and wisdom. These are different things neurobiologically, but what they have in common, and this is why lifelong learning matters so much. The part of the brain that is most vulnerable to cognitive decline, to dementia, to all that stuff, is the prefrontal cortex, sort of the part that's right behind your forehead. It's the newest part of the brain from an evolutionary perspective, which means it's the most vulnerable to disruption. Expertise and wisdom both live in the prefrontal cortex, and when we develop expertise, when we develop wisdom, what we get is new neurons are born. So you get neurogenesis, right? And that protects against the loss of neurons, which leads to cognitive decline and everything else. And they form very robust neural networks, synaptic plasticity. And the brain is interesting because when it builds a neural network, it doesn't ever build one way to do something. It likes to learn 6 or 7 different ways. So there's redundancy built into the system and these vast networks. So if you think about cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, dementia, they tend to be localized issues, right? But you've got these big diffuse networks that protect against it. So you need this formula for lifelong learning. One of the reasons the social component is so important is wisdom, among its many other attributes, is mostly emotional intelligence, right? And we tend to learn those kinds of lessons easier when there's other people around. So that's one of the reasons. There's other things going on that have to do with reduction of stress hormones. There's also robust social networks give us oxytocin, and there's a lot of research, recent research that shows that the more oxytocin in our system, the longer we're going to live. And we know why that is and where that comes from, but as a shorthand, having a robust social connection, it matters. It also matters for peak performance, because when we maintain robust social connections, we're calmer. It lowers anxiety levels. This matters for two reasons. One, there are 9 known causes of aging. They all link to stress. Stress links to anxiety. So anything that calms us down is actually an anti-aging tool. The second is, for flow, too much norepinephrine, sort of fear in our system, will block flow. So by lowering these anxiety levels in this way, you're also unlocking flow, which is really important from a quality of life perspective to peak performance aging and to longevity, actually.
Thank you for tuning in to Flow Research Collective Radio, and please pardon the brief interruption. I've got a question for you. Do you have great ideas and big goals? My assumption is you have more skills than most knowledge workers. You're paid well to use your brain, and you've reached this level in your career by being uncommonly effective at what you do. But maybe something's changed. You're typically relentless, but fatigue has started to slow you down. You used to be crystal clear on your priorities, but mounting responsibilities have started to blur your vision. Now, on your best days, you can focus for hours on end on the most critical tasks and blaze through a massive workload with ease. But perhaps you're inconsistent. Some days, you can barely focus for more than a few minutes before your attention gets yanked elsewhere. People rely on you, so you're constantly reeled into conversations, task switching, and multitasking. Or perhaps you've got no trouble keeping focus. You can consistently execute on your highest priorities, and you're fully able to manage your time wisely. But you know that something is missing. You're looking for a way to perform at your absolute best, and not just some of the time, but all of the time. On your best days, you can get 10 times more work done in half the time, and it feels nearly effortless, and it's enjoyable, and it's energizing. At the end of a 10 out of 10 day, you hit the pillow that night feeling unstoppable. Now, this level of extreme accomplishment is its own reward, but you get the external rewards too, by excelling in your profession and your craft. Now, with 10 out of 10 days, you exceed your own expectations and surprise yourself with what you're capable of. And if you've ever suspected there's a way to operate at a 10 out of 10 level every day, you're right, there is. And we're going to show you exactly how to access apex performance like this at will, without fail. To train with us at the Flow Research Collective, go to getmoreflow.com. That's getmoreflow.com. All the best.
So I'm hearing you. It's making sense. We know a lot of the same people, and they're very introverted. They're very cautious. You know, you're not a wildly outgoing guy. I play one quite well. Peter's quite introverted. Jim Quick, Joe Polish. There's a lot of introverted people that focus on peak performance. So you would naturally think, well, if you're going for peak performance, but you're an introvert, or you're not going to be able to cover that gap. So how do you do that?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And Narc Country is really about this because I'm an extreme introvert. I can go months without talking to anybody but my wife. I'm in a writing project, right? Like, forget about it. I'll spend 14, 15 hours a day alone. I'll talk to my wife, who's also an extreme introvert, for like a half an hour a day. And like 3 months go by and I don't see anybody. So this is one of the reasons that we focus on group flow in the book Narc Country. So group flow, which is the shared collective version of a flow state, right, is underpinned by a bunch of neurochemicals. These are the same neurochemicals. The reason you want to maintain these robust social connections is to get access to these neurochemicals. This is what's making the difference in your body. Group flow allows you to get all that neurochemistry in a lot less time. So Narc Country is a ski adventure, right? That is an experiment around skiing. And I could drop into group flow with my ski partner and ski like one day a week, like 4 hours together in group flow, and take care of almost all the social connection I need from a peak performance aging perspective. So like everything we do at the Flow Research Collective, right? We're a research and training organization. And while we train people in 130 countries, the commonality among them all, they're all busy, right? Everybody's busy. So we're always looking for like multi-tool solutions. So a single tool that solves multiple problems at once, or something that solves problems very quickly. Group flow is exactly this kind of solution, especially for peak performance aging. And let me give you some bonus information about flow. So not only does it shorten the sort of the social bonding and solve the introversion problem, right? What else you get is group flow is considered the most positive emotion on earth, positive feeling we get on earth. People love being in group flow more than any other state of consciousness. And as a result, when we experience the really positive emotions that come under group flow and group flow, whenever we experience really positive emotions, the brain and the body release T cells. These are the immunological cells that fight diseases. And it boosts the production of natural killer cells, which are the cells that target tumors and other sick cells. So group flow gives us a lot of the social benefits, but it directly ties into our immune system, which is why. So when we have at the Flow Research Collective, of course, we built the training, Enter the NAR, that that covers the peak performance aging stuff, but it's our, actually our second training. We send people through Zero to Dangerous, our primary flow training first, and then follow with Enter the NAR, because the that sequence of peak performance and peak performance aging you started with, we see that too in terms of how we train and how to make things most effective. But this is why they sort of connect up.
So I'm not going to wait until the end, and this isn't the end of the podcast, but I want to make sure that right in the middle, people know how to get hold of NAR Country. How's the best way for them to get your book?
Amazon or your local bookstore, or you can go to narcountry.com and in order through our website, there's some bonus, the bonuses if you do. And also, there's some really fun videos on the NAR Country website that we made about the experiments we ran and the work we did and about peak performance aging. So take your pick anywhere books are sold.
All right. Okay. So now I want to step back to, again, we know the solution of getting into that group environment is going to solve a lot, but there's a lot of people out there that want to get peak performance that are introverted, that look out their windows and they think the entire planet are extrovert and party animals. How do I step into that? So how can they, sitting in that room, get out into a social environment? How would you suggest they do it? How do you do it?
Well, I don't, by the way. I mean, my answer is I don't. Like, I tell people, if I don't work with you, ski with you, and are married to you, I don't know you. I have things, I give a lot of speeches. So those are big social events, right? So I get some of it that way, but as a general rule, I get all of my social contact through group flow. And, I also on a daily basis will try to reach out and call usually one person I haven't talked to in a little while. It doesn't have to be a very long conversation either, but so Steve, let's talk about one of the reasons why this matters so much on a moment by moment basis. When you're assessing an opportunity, is it a challenge? Is it a threat? Is it an opportunity? Right? Your brain runs, it wants to know how much energy does it need to meet the challenge kind of thing. So your brain runs a bunch of very fast analyst programs. One of them is about your social network. When you're facing a situation, how many people in your posse? Do you have friends who back you up? Do you have people to help? If you fail at this, is somebody going to pick you up? If the answer is no, right, your brain goes, oh shit, this is a big problem. We got to generate a lot of energy. We might need a lot of cortisol and norepinephrine and some stress. And all that is biologically expensive to produce. It drains calories. It takes away from our ability to get you to perform at our best, basically. So by maintaining robust social ties, your brain goes, oh, there's people around who love you. They got your back. You can take this. This is an opportunity, not a threat, kind of thing. And that has a huge impact on peak performance and over time on peak performance aging as well. Because as I said, anything that stresses us out ages us.
Wow. So you've got your group. So you're fine. I know I'm the same. I've got my group, so I don't need to go out. And you're right. We both travel. We both speak.
I find it ironic that you're here stumping for introverts because your entire business is built around extroversion. Taking people into the world and giving them fabulous experiences. Yeah.
But that's the funny thing. My business is, but I'm not. I don't care about going backstage. I don't care about doing all of those things. But it's how we respond, and it can get us a little bit, or it got me sometimes nervous, so I would have to focus on what reaction am I trying to get out of it. But you've got your people, introverts out there need to challenge themselves just by phoning someone, but to get to this peak performance. And you say quite simply, it's a use it or lose it. The social network that we're in today, both the online social networks and our way do we socialize? And let's be serious, even dating now, you can't go into a bar and pull a girl at a bar. You got to Tinder the whole situation now. How we're actually getting these blocks in front of our interaction, do you find that they are making it easier for us to interact, or it's a negative thing?
Well, you can definitely get into group flow through social media, right? You can use Zoom and create a group flow environment. It's hard to do. You have to really sort of know what you're doing, and there's less wiggle room because you're not getting sort of basic neurochemistry that you get from being in the company of others. So you can do it. Ultimately, I think social media is effective for marketing, PR, and creativity. And other than that, it broke the world. And one of the things I tell, so let's back into this a different way. I mentioned earlier that mindset is really important for peak performance aging. So the finding here is crazy, that a positive mindset towards aging, that's simply, I'm excited about the second half of my life, I think my best days are ahead of me kind of thing, also produces about an extra 7.5 years of aging, of healthy longevity. So in fact, people also ask with peak performance aging, where do I start? And I said, you got to start with a healthy mindset towards aging. You really got to kind of get rid of the mindset of old. The mindset of old is the voice in your head that says you're too old to do this shit. Let me put an exclamation point on this. Becca Levy, really smart woman. She teaches at Yale. She's sort of the world's leading expert on ageism and the stereotypes around aging and what kind of damage they do. She's found that if you are exposed to negative stereotypes of aging, or have a, you know, really negative mindset towards aging, when they measure memory, if you're exposed to it growing up, by age 60, you exhibit 30% greater memory decline than people who had positive mindset towards aging or non-ageist experiences. So huge impact on our physiology and our mental health over time. And I'm trying to remember how I got here. You asked me a specific question, and I told you about mindset for a reason.
Is it harder to interact socially today? And you were saying about Zoom, you can do it, but it's not good. Right. Okay. Yeah. Person to ask.
Well, with mindset, I'm sorry. So that mindset really matters. Thank you. Now I put it together. So thing when people ask, okay, what do I do about my mindset? How do I fix it? One of the first things we tell people to do is put down your damn phone. Stop using social media. Phones create it's like a narcissistic mindset. It makes us feel very safe and very narcissistic. And it will block the kind of positive mindset we need towards aging. The other thing is, peak performance aging, there's a little bit to do, right? Time management matters. So where do you get the time back? Well, the average American spends 4 to 6 hours a day on their damn phone, right? And it's really, and the phone and social media, all this stuff, there are a number of things that you want to train up over time that really matter. One of them is what's known as task switching, which is the ability to like maintain all your focus when you switch from task to task. The phones literally work against that. They totally train that down. So phones and screens end up training down a bunch of the skills that you need to train up for peak performance aging. So my point to you on one level is there's some social stuff that's more difficult to do through social media. And there's a cost there. Now, that's not to say that like the world is online. So you know what I mean? If you're dating, you brought up a good point. Like I would much rather meet people in a bar than on Tinder. Yeah. I still don't know how to use Tinder because I've been married this whole time and it showed up at, you know, after I got married. So I have luckily never had to ever use any of the dating apps, but it's really like we're wired for social connection. Right. And we don't change our biology as fast as our technology is changing. And so we can use all the technology we want, but getting our biology to work for us is what peak performance and peak performance aging is all about. And so phones have and screens have really good uses, and they've got a lot of negative uses. And I just think we've got to be smart about it.
I love the way you're always challenging yourself. We mentioned the comment before about I'm using this book for my flight because I can rely on it. And I've been told it's actually got some great funny stories in it. So I'm looking forward to that humor that you have. You have a dark, sarcastic humor, which I really like in your past books, and they're very easy to read. So I do urge, you know, if you wanna not get to Stephen's Nar Country yet and go through some of his other books, hey, I advise that. I loved Abundance because obviously Peter as well. But you mentioned that when you travel, you actually take a whole bunch of books with you. So are you the kind of mind that is constantly reading other people's viewpoints?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read nonstop. It's a joke with me. Like, I'll bring very little clothing, right? Like my workout gear and whatever I need for my speech that I'm giving, and I'll bring 5, 6, 7. And usually what I'm reading is usually like 3 textbooks and a couple other books. But like, yeah. And a lot, that's the other thing, is a lot of what I read these days is textbooks, which is even crazier.
So you don't read stories and things like that?
I read novels for a lot of different, for a bunch of different reasons. Reading is really, reading is a very effective peak performance aging tool. Let's just talk about it for a second. 6 minutes of reading a novel is more effective at reducing stress than mindfulness meditation. So it's really potent interventions, and fiction expands empathy. So I think it's really important to read fiction, and fiction automatically expands perspective, which expands wisdom, which is neuroprotective against cognitive decline. So there's a bunch of reasons to read fiction. But when it comes to nonfiction, these days I'm usually reading neuroscience textbooks.
Wow.
Pretty much. I'll read some other stuff mixed in, but it's a general, I always say that, like, when you know you're an expert in a subject is when you read textbooks and they read like thrillers. that's one, to me, that's one sign of expertise, is I read a neuroscience textbook, and it wasn't always this way. It took a very long time to get to this point, but like these days, sometimes it's like reading a thriller to me, because it's the great detective story of the brain. And I'm enthralled. I'm also very weird, but you know.
That's what makes you interested. All right, Stephen, I'm going to announce it. Nar Country is on my list. It's on my flight list. Everyone should run out and get it. Again, what is the website? Is it narcountry.com? Your website?
Yes, sir. Right, narcountry.com. So
we're going to put the links in here, because he's promised us there's some bonus material there. So I always suggest people to go to the author's page. So, Stephen, thank you very, very much for joining us today, and keep keeping it gnarly.
Hey, it's Joshua with the production team. Question for you. When was the last time you were in the zone? When you were in so deep that afterward you were stunned by how much you got done, even though very little time had passed. Now, you've got bold goals, yet you're slammed with work and you're short on time. You know the heights of productivity you can achieve when you get into the zone, because you've been there before, but it's a mild form of torture knowing how productive you're capable of being without access to that level of output all the time. So how do you get into the zone whenever you need it? There's still a lot that we don't know about flow states, but over the last 25 years of researching it, we've learned a lot, and we've shared our findings with thousands of high performers. You're in flow during those moments of total absorption, when you're so focused on the task at hand that everything else disappears. Time passes strangely, and performance just soars. I mean, motivation and productivity, creativity and innovation, learning and memory, cooperation and collaboration all skyrocket, in some studies as high as 500% above baseline. Now imagine what you can accomplish if you could reliably increase your productivity by 5x. And the best part? Flow is accessible to everyone, anywhere, at any time. You don't need to pop a pill. You don't need to be surfing a monster wave. You don't need to meditate on a mountaintop for 10 years to get there. Flow is accessible to you right here, right now. If you'd like to amp up your productivity and get leverage on every second, go to getmoreflow.com. Just think of your 10 out of 10 days when you get more done in the morning than you typically do in a full day. Now imagine if you tapped into that level of performance with push button consistency every day. All this is possible when you trigger flow frequently and reliably. Just go to getmoreflow.com to unblock your flow and unlock peak performance.
If what you've heard on Flow Research Collective Radio has been helpful, please consider doing us a solid and leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening to this. Reviews help us connect to a wider audience so we can get these peak performance principles out to more people.